Hey there, welcome to Bible Talk. This is a podcast where we're going to sit here and read the Bible.
And then we're going to talk about it. It's a podcast for everyday people. Matthew chapter 9, verse 14. Jesus is questioned about fasting. In verse 14, it reads, "Then John's disciples came and asked him, 'How is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?' Jesus answered, 'How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he's with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and then they will fast. No one who sows a patch—'" Well, this is a good place to stop, actually.
All right.
So, because there really are two separate things going on here, and this is the end of the first one. So let's stop there and talk about those two verses.
Okay.
Because it's Bible talk.
That's what you do at Bible talk. That's what we're going to do. Okay. We're gonna read it and talk about it.
So he's questioned about fasting by the Pharisees, and wondering, why don't your disciples seem to be fasting? And he says, because I'm still with them.
Right.
It's celebration time. Now is time to eat. There'll be a time when I'll be gone and they'll have plenty of opportunities to fast.
Right.
Kind of like, and he uses a simile or a comparison, like when you're at a wedding banquet and the bridegroom is still there, you don't fast during the feast. When the bridegroom's gone, you'll have plenty of opportunities to fast. So he kind of sets that question to rest with those two verses in that response.
Yeah.
Then he gets into a separate thing here in verse 16. We'll pick back up.
Okay. "No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved."
So here he's getting into a subject separate from the first, but somewhat related, in that he's saying, what I'm introducing to you right now regarding me being a bridegroom or why my disciples don't fast, maybe hard for you to contain, hard for you to accept, hard for you to pull in, because you might not be a container that is ready to be stretched. And that's where he gets into talking about wineskins and cloth in verses 16 and 17. What's your take on verses 16 and 17? What have you understood those verses to mean?
Well, I was sitting here kind of, I don't know, kind of trying to tie the two things together that we just read.
The fasting conversation to these conversations?
Yeah. And, you know, like I was just thinking about Jesus even using the idea of a bridegroom, right? I mean, where do you find a bridegroom? A bridegroom's at a wedding celebration. Right. And I can't imagine, you know, being excited for some of my best friends or getting married and going to their wedding and spending all day fasting.
Yeah, you're at the reception, cutting cake.
Oh, yeah, I'm not getting any of the cake. Cake?
Oh,
not for me.
I can't eat cake, I'm fasting today.
Right.
It'll be weird.
Did you not, like, look at the calendar and know what you were doing
today?
Did
you get an invitation?
Right, yeah, exactly. Why are
you
here?
Did you know food was coming? which box did you check, chicken or fish?
Right. And so I think his example is meant to be ludicrous. Because wedding celebrations back then, I mean, it was a one-off. I mean,
they weren't just an afternoon or whatever.
It could go a week or more, you know.
Multi-day thing.
And so the idea of Jesus even presenting this idea just seems like, okay, well, that's just dumb. No one would do that. And then he rolls right into, and he's like, right. I mean, you're so stuck on the rules, the do's and the don'ts, that you can't see outside of the lines of the law. You can't see the spirit of the law. And I think that's when he presents the idea of you can't be stretched when hidden, you already think you're right.
A hidden little treasure in here. How in the world would these Pharisees know if Jesus' disciples were fasting or not? Do you ever think of that?
You mean how
did they know?
How would
fasting?
John's disciples know?
Is that who asked the question?
Yeah.
Was it John's disciples?
Yeah, but I think.
Okay, sorry.
No. That's because there have been questions asked to the Pharisees very similar to that, when they were gleaning.
So how
grain.
Would John's disciples know whether these guys had been fasting or not?
That's a good question. I mean, Jesus warned his disciples, don't go around like the Pharisees and, the religious people.
Making it obvious.
Who they make it obvious. You put oil on your head. You make yourself
Carry
look
on.
Shiny and bright. No one should even know you're fasting.
Okay.
And so because he's addressing Jesus, whose disciples have already been trained, don't make a big deal about it, but everyone else around them does. Maybe that is,
Okay, so that's really good. So because the norm was to sort of announce your fasting.
Right. Look at me, I'm so righteous.
That it was obvious to John's disciples mm-hmm. who were asking this question about fasting that apparently you guys don't fast because I haven't seen the outward signs that
Correct.
Are common in our time.
Yes.
And Jesus doesn't deny that they weren't fasting.
Mm-hmm.
He just says it's not the appropriate time for the fasting.
Right.
And you'll accept this, and this is how it relates then to the rest of his words in verses 16 and beyond. You'll accept this if you're pliable,
mm-hmm.
if you can be stretched, if you're still moldable. But if you are a fixed, immovable, can't
Correct.
Contain anything further, not stretchy heart.
Right. Everything I pour into you is just going to dump out onto the ground.
It's going to dump out on the ground. That's what happens when you take an unshrunk piece of cloth and you sew it to an old garment that's been through the wash, has already had its time to shrink.
Right.
And you sew it in nice and tight. And you think, I did a great job. The hole is patched.
Mm-hmm.
Great. But then when you wash it, that little unshrunk patch, it's going to take its turn in shrinking.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to pull away. From the old unshrinked.
It's science.
It's just science, right? And he says, in case you didn't get that, analogy, take a wine skin. They used to take wine and put it into animal skins or bladders that were made from animal parts. And they would take new wine, put it into new wine skins, old wine into old wine skins, because the fermentation process creates, do you know what it does?
The fermentation process?
Yeah, when you take new wine, so it's not yet fermented.
Well,
what happens during the fermentation process to the wine?
It adds oxygen to the wine.
Okay,
I believe.
And what happens from
it's gonna expand.
It expands.
Considerably.
Yeah, there's expansion going on.
My mom used to make kimchi. I know a little bit about fermentation. It's ugly.
Did you guys ever bust some jars in that process?
We busted 4 gallon size jars because we didn't burp them before we left to go out of town.
Okay. And so they exploded.
All over.
Yeah. And kimchi, by the way, smells lovely.
I love the smell of kimchi. I know you don't.
Yeah, it's not to the Western nose. It is not real pleasant. But anyway, so if you take new wine and you put it in a wine skin that's not pliable, which an old wine skin
mm-hmm.
is not going to be pliable. It's already hardened. It's already taken shape
right.
and it's not stretching any further. It's going to burst that wine skin. So this new teaching that Jesus introduces, or any new teaching that Jesus introduces,
it's going to come with a big challenge for them, yeah.
It's going to cause any listener to have to evaluate, what is it that I've believed up to this point, and am I willing to stretch it? Am I able to expand upon what I know, what I think, and what I believe? And in the case of John's disciples, hopefully that's where their hearts were at. In the case of the Pharisees,
not so
oftentimes
much.
That was not the case, which is why they were so adversarial toward Jesus.
Right.
Okay. We move on.
Okay, it's your turn.
Okay, in verse 18. While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." So here's a guy who's willing. He had overheard this conversation and he knew that death was pretty final, probably. But based on what he had just heard Jesus say, he thought, you know what? I'm going to stretch my understanding of what death means.
Big time.
And we're going to see if we can, maybe make death not final. So here's what he says to Jesus. He says, "My daughter died. You come put your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only just touch his cloak, I could be healed." Here's another person that's willing to expand upon what they have believed or understood previously because Jesus said so. Jesus, in verse 22, turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, they were playing like mourning music, not mourning like the AM, but mourning as in sadness.
Right.
He said, "Go away. The girl is not dead. She's asleep." But they laughed at him because old wineskins, they were like, no, when someone stops breathing and they no longer have a heartbeat, they are dead. That's just it. And Jesus is, you know, the bridegroom amongst them. He is about to introduce something that stretches all confined ways of thinking. When he says she's asleep, she's not dead.
Right.
So verse 25, after the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand and she got up. News of this spread through all that region.
You think? Oh, yeah.
Death didn't mean death.
Faster than Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, there's a lot in here. Where do you want to... Anything specific you want to pick at?
That's Bible talk. You just talk about it.
Okay. So a couple of things that stood out to me is this story gets told a couple of other times in Scripture.
Yeah.
And I would absolutely, if you're listening, encourage you to read both of those.
Yeah, Mark 5, verse 22, and Luke 8, verse 41.
Yeah, because it does kind of give some other details in those particular perspectives of this single event that I think are really powerful. But I would say, as far as the Gospels go, this is one of my favorite interactions that Jesus has. You know, he's got this, you know, synagogue leader who comes up and, like you said, like right away, he's like, "Oh, okay, I'm calling his bluff." And he's like, "Okay, I'll come." And he's going to do this thing. This guy's daughter is dead, and he still allows himself to be
a new wineskin.
Right. Well, I mean, Jesus allows himself to go on a side quest. You know what I mean? I think that speaks a lot about his level of compassion. Yeah, I'm you know what? I know you're hurting, but this is important. This child's dead.
And I think it also presented an opportunity for Jesus to show people what he meant by what he was just talking about, old wine, old wineskins.
Exactly.
Old cloth, new cloth, patch.
Well, even with the two people that he selected, you know, if you look at this woman who was categorically unclean in every conceivable way, that's someone that, you know, maybe one of the religious leaders of the day would have looked at and thought, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, shunned her.
Yeah, wear a cowbell, announce your presence because you are unclean. And the synagogue leader, which I think you see this juxtaposition. You know, someone who is in a crowd of people who they're not all in on what Jesus is doing. Synagogue leaders and teachers of the law.
So this guy's got some religion, but also is
exactly
still moldable.
He's moldable. And so so you've got him, new wineskin, and you've got this woman who the synagogue leaders and teachers of the law would have looked at and thought, she's not worth saving. She's long gone. Mm. And I think that she became a new wineskin for everybody that was watching.
Yeah.
You know, which I think is just so beautiful. Such a great, great interaction.
I think for us, as we wrap it up, you know, it's great to read the Bible. It's great to go to church. It's great to take notes and learn things mm-hmm. and have convictions that run deeply. Very, very important, all those things.
Yep.
But to do so without becoming an immovable, I already know it, there's only certain ways that things can possibly work.
Right.
In our heart and our mind. Mm-hmm. We got to be able to avoid doing that, even in our great learning, so that right. God can continue to show us in new ways and different ways things that he has in store for us.
And maybe even our errors, you know?
And sometimes and
the way
our
that
errors.
We've yeah. understood something up to that point, you know? Yeah. It's good stuff. Very good stuff. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we'd always like to leave you with this little reminder.
To not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Go and do what it says.